Appreciate your prayers this morning, courtesy of your attention for a little while. During this last week, praying about and considering this morning's service, thought of a half a dozen different topics or so. But early this morning, the Lord started talking to me about this one. I don't know why he wants it, but I'll be bold enough to claim that the Lord gave me this. So I'll ask him to bless it. Ask your prayers. Begin by reading the 16th chapter of Luke. I got three passages of scripture to read. It's the story of the prodigal son. Just an excerpt from it. The Lord characterized the life of the prodigal this way. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" And the second passage that I have is in the 16th of Luke. I'll read more of that. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. A certain beggar named Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores. The beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' Then he said, 'I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment.'" Well, that's a picture, first of all, of a life in this world without the Lord. And it's a bad picture. We can fix the blame where we want to. And the Bible does say something about who is responsible for this. And in the end, each of us are responsible for our own souls. But what's in my mind this morning is how unpleasant it had to have been. There arose a famine in that land. But the truth is, in a land of sin, there's always a famine. It's never really any other way. He began to be in want. It means his needs weren't supplied. It means there were a lot of things, if he could have changed, he would have had differently. How many folks have seen go down that road and come to a place where if they could have changed things, it would change a lot and make it different. And he would have eaten the husks that the pigs ate, and no man gave unto him. He concluded it all and said, "I perish with hunger. I'm low in my morals. I'm not in the place where I ought to be. But even worse than that, my stomach hurts every day, and I don't have enough." And we go from that to a person who, comment here, that there are lots of folks who get in that place and seem like it don't come to themselves in time. And if a person doesn't, well, that's when this next passage becomes relevant, isn't it? Because the Lord said, if you die in your sins where I am, there you cannot come. The picture that the Lord gave us of eternity, what it means to leave this world without the Lord. There's nothing else quite like this in the Old Testament. It sends a shudder over our souls, just to read the solemn words, doesn't it? Doesn't it you? To think about a place of torment. I'm tormented in this flame. Send Lazarus. He dip the tip of his finger in water and cool me. He wanted more than that. He didn't see much hope of mercy. Not any, really. He begged for anything that would make it a little bit better, even just for a moment. And then went on to say, if I can't get any help for myself, by all means, those that I love behind, send something to help them. I don't want to see them come to this kind of place. And I don't intend to let this story grow old on us. I expect to repeat it from time to time. It's been spurs to my sides. I remember Brother Harmon telling us when he was here about the dream that he had and the voice that he heard in the dream. It was his mother. And she said to him, Roy, don't come where I am. She said, there's nowhere to rest. Everywhere is just weary. It's not a good place to be. Look like that would haunt a man to know that your mother was in a place like that. And I think about these things and I think this life here is all that we have to do everything we can do to rescue every soul there is around us. Because this is the way life is. From a spiritual perspective, if people turn aside from serving the Lord, you wind up so hungry, so disappointed. It's not a good life. And at the end of it, something far worse. Now the scripture we want to talk about this morning, it's recorded in more than one place in the gospel, but I've got Matthew's in the 18th chapter. The Lord said this, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. When I was considering of these things and praying about it, I have to cover my head and say, Lord, help me to be more diligent, to do what I can to help the souls that are around me. And as I read these solemn words, I think of all tasks that we have in this world. The effort to, first of all, secure our own salvation, and then do what we can to help others be saved, is surely the most important thing that there is. We got a song in our hymnal. We don't sing it very often, but I'd like to invite us to sing it this morning. It's number 323. Would you lead us in that one, Brother Ron?
Thank you.
Thank you. Luke said concerning the shepherd looking for a sheep, when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Brother Shell's verses speak of the fears and storms of night. Anybody that's ever worked with sheep knows they're such defenseless creatures. If they run very fast, especially if they haven't been sheared in a while, sheep overheat, they'll die. Sheep can't tell a difference between poisonous plants and non-poisonous. Number of animals are that way, but if sheep get in forage that's poisonous, they'll eat it, and it'll kill them. Sheep don't know when to stop eating. They'll eat themselves to death. Sheep have no defenses against wolves. I've read about longhorn cattle in Texas in the cowboy days. All the calves be on top of a hill and one lone cow up there with longhorns. You stand off a grizzly bear, stand off a pack of wolves. Sheep can't do that. They can't fight anything. And it seems like predators can even sense that a sheep is afraid. Then it makes them more ferocious than they were before. This is talking about souls. Only for the mercy of the Lord, I'd be in those kind of places. And I think about the people that I love. And I don't know if I can make my illustration very reasonable. But I see people's lives stretching out one day at a time. And I know somewhere out here, there's that. And maybe it's here. And maybe it's here. And I don't know. But I always hate for my phone to ring at 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody ever calls you at 3 o'clock in the morning with good news. And I think about my family members, the people that I love. Some of them disappointed me. Some of them done some things that hurt my family. Hurt me. You know, that's pretty trivial compared to being lost eternally. It's not worth holding any grudges. The devil takes advantage of people. Of course he does. Makes them do things that they shouldn't do. And he'll push you and me away from praying for those we should pray for if he can. Well, look past that. And I think about, what if that call came tonight? What if it came tomorrow? And I have to realize there's no chance to ever pray for them again. Never try to help them anymore. Life here hadn't been that good. That's why they've been hurting people. Got hungry out there somewhere. The old devil shreds folks. He takes away their brightest and best hopes. He'll destroy your home. He'll destroy your health. He'll destroy your dreams. And he doesn't make it any better when it comes time to die. And then step off into eternity. I don't know how you live with it. You think somebody that you've loved very dearly, like Brother Roy had to say about his mother, and they're lost. That's what his testimony meant. that she was reaching back to him from that place and saying, don't come here where I am. Well, these things work in my mind sometimes. Maybe they do yours too. 99 within the fold are safe from fears and storms of night. One is on the mountain, cold, to a perish there. How sad the sight. It seems sometimes that we watch people in the process of perishing. I'm thinking this morning of a man came to our worship years ago, brought his family with him, made a start to serve the Lord. Made a profession, his wife and children made a profession for a while. It's like watching somebody holding on to a bar and the waves dashing on them and watching their fingers slip just a little at a time and the look of desperation on her face. Little by little, he let himself get lean. He had a good experience. Way long after he had left us, he testified, don't say anything bad about those people. I used to be one of them. I know what they're trying to do. But somehow or another, the old devil took advantage of him and he lost that. And we watched his fingers slide off the anchor that he was holding on to just by degrees, and the waves caught him and he slipped away. And the next thing we knew, he broke up his home. His family was all scattered to the wind. One of them in prison, different other ways that they got caught in the devil's traps here and there. He went to, of course, far, far away, lost his health, lost his dreams, lost his hope, everything that he had. And I look at that and I say, I wish there could be one more time when he was in our worship services and we were praying and singing together. Well, I'd love to hear him testify one more time. It'd be good. I'm thinking of another dear brother. Used to come to our meeting, real interested in the things of God, take a leading place among us. An old devil got in his home and broke it up. One of his children wound up in an insane asylum. One of his children wound up in married several times. One of them came and talked to us about troubles. A young person, beautiful young person, said, what do you do? How can we help you? What do you do? I'm not sure I want to seek the Lord. She said, what do you do if you don't do that? She said, I've always got my whiskey that's here in my refrigerator. And she's just a teenager and already caught in those kind of places. I look at that and say, what a hungry place that is. And I'm sad to see you go down there. I wish you wouldn't do that. The Lord's got something so much better for you than that. They're all around us, folks. One of the primary reasons why we have these worship services is to do what we can to help souls, equip ourselves to help other souls. We pray for power to break the spirits that bind souls when they come in our worship service. And also to just get together and pray that the Lord have mercy on those that we love. If the Lord won't rescue them, you and I can't, you know. The old song says, one is on the mountain cold, it'll perish there. One is wandering far away upon the mountain's snowy crest. The 99 with care are fed and rest within the shepherd's fold. One is starving, nearly dead, upon the mountains bare and cold. I think the Lord has blessed us with many things in the congregation. I appreciate it very much. But we always have in mind the ones that need to be here and are not. And you know, folks, let's not let the devil get us in a place where we despise him. The Lord gave us this parable when he was here about the marriage of the king's son. Invited the royalty to come to the marriage, the wedding, but they wouldn't come. So the king commanded his servants, go out into the highways and hedges. Anybody you find and compel them to come. Well, that maybe wouldn't be so critical here in our Neo show. But I think about the congregation, for instance, in Miami, Florida. Those folks do that. Ever so often they open the doors of the chapel and they just feed anybody who wants to come in, and they live in a pretty rough part of town, and they get the winos, and they get the drug addicts, and they get the streetwalkers, and you could go in to have dinner there, and somebody sit down beside you, maybe hadn't had a bath in a couple of months, and got no table manners. You know, they didn't know that people pray for their food, and they reach and grab, and they slurp and drop things and so forth. If you're going to help the folks, you look past that, don't you? When the Lord sent out his servants, he had a people that had been taught and prepared in the things of religion, but they didn't accept it. And so the Lord said, go out and get anybody, just anybody you can find. I'm glad he said that, because that's why I got in. I wasn't Jewish. And he just went and got whoever he could find. That means you and I may sit down at the table with somebody who's got body odor and whose breath is bad, and they may not use the language that we're used to hearing, and that, but they got a soul. They're headed toward eternity. The Lord died for them the same as he did for you and me. Oh, folks, the Lord wants us to have a big old heart full of love toward everybody around us. I say at the start of this and repeat myself now, I don't know why the Lord gave this to me, because I feel like, to all I can tell, we are a compassionate congregation. You see the folks reaching out all the time. But it's what the Lord put on my heart, so I want to remind you of it today. The song said in that last verse, the shepherd dear aloud doth weep. Well, that touches me. I appreciate what the Lord did for me. It means a lot to me. He's been there when I needed him. He's been my Savior. And he's got me out of things when I cried out to him, and he's got me out of things that I didn't deserve to be gotten out of. And I like to put a smile on his face. The scripture said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I'm convinced that we can make the Lord glad he created us. And I think sometimes he wants us to do that. He's pleased when we come back. But there are things that hurt the Lord too. And I don't like seeing him weep. I know the Lord is grieved when people turn and go a different way. The old song said, the 99 he'll safely keep. I don't have any question about that. I know the Lord knows how to keep his little flock. He watches over us. He blesses us and protects us. But then he said, the one that's lost, we'll go look for it. I know the Lord's looking for the ones that are lost. Well, there's nothing like the dealing of his Spirit. We can't touch anybody if the Lord doesn't touch them first. I know that. I know that. But there is a human hand too. And the Lord wants sometimes for us to reach the one with whom he's been dealing and show that measure of love and compassion and understanding, of willingness to go the second mile, of willingness to be taken advantage of. Anything we can do to help a soul not have to go to that kind of place where they look back and say, I'm tormented in this flame. I think about marriage. Marriage isn't always easy. People marry because they expect to find happiness and pleasure. God made it that way. I don't have a quarrel with that. But the first duty of marriage is to do everything you can to help your companion get to heaven. And that isn't always going to be easy. And it requires living with integrity, and it requires putting up with some things. But what is it worth to us if we'd have to see the one we walk most of our adult life with walk by him in the casket and know they didn't make it? What's worth that? When and what quarrel is worth that? What would you give for a soul, the scripture said? Nothing's worth that. Our brother and our sister in the world, our flesh, families. Oh, I believe in worship service. You know I do. I'm here as much as I can be here. But we have family reunions too. I've had my family get displeased with me because they say we get together and you always put the church ahead of us. And I've learned that I better consider about my family some too, because they're moving down the line just like I am, just like you are. And one day they're going to get here. And I tell you in all sincerity, there's some of them I hope don't get there today. because they wouldn't be ready. I dread that, don't you? We want to do everything we can to do what we can to help every one of them. The 99, he said, he'll safely keep. We'll find that lamb and bring it home. How do we find him? We find him with our prayers. We find him with our tears. We find him with our kind words. All theology is important. I believe in water baptism. I believe in two works of grace. And I believe in foot washing. But I think in our world today, the ability to help somebody with their grief is probably more important to most folks than whether or not you got baptized in a certain way. And people are in trouble because they don't have anywhere to go, because their hearts are broken, because they need somebody to love them, because they need somebody to come and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's been trouble between us, and I'm sorry. I don't want it to be that way. I want to get along with you. Life is so short anyway. I want to be as close to you as I can get. Folks, we all need each other. Now, we just do. That's the Lord's plan. We need to be as close with each other as we can get. And we need to reach those that we love as much. We just don't have time to spend quarreling with one another. We're moving toward eternity. It's too big of a risk to take. So that's my little message this morning. I want to encourage us by the Lord's help. Let's ask the Lord to help us to feel the value of a soul. Let's ask the Lord to help us as much as we can to be diligent with our own souls. I've been serving the Lord all my adult life, but I'm still just a sheep. I know very well if I'd release my hold on him by just a little bit, the wolves would tear me so fast. All that I've learned about the Lord would not spare me. You know, sheep can't even tell what to eat for themselves. I wouldn't be any different. If I give up my hold on the Lord, the devil's got so many things out there that people feed on that are bad for their spirit. It takes the Lord to show us. Think about that in my own soul. And to think about those that I love and the days going by and the old traps the devil's put out there for them. It makes me say, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Rescue us. Lead us in the way everlasting. Have mercy on our souls. I know the Lord will do his part. I want the Lord to help me to do my part. To show the proper love, the proper compassion. Maybe somebody comes to sit down beside me when I'm trying to work for the Lord, and they smell bad, and their language isn't what I wish it'd be, and don't have good table manners. There's still a soul. I mind years ago, a very dear friend of mine, senior minister, Brother Ossus Wilson, said, there was a man in Washington who had been calling for him. He went from where he lived to Oregon to be in a meeting there. It was a long drive from home. Came the end of the meeting, he'd purposed to go and visit the man, maybe 500 miles or so, at right angles to his journey home. But he said, when it came time to leave, I thought, I'm tired. And he said, that man is in a false religion, and he's in other traps of the devil's double marriage and so forth. And he said, I don't know there's much hope of him. I think I'll just go on home. And he said, the Lord said to him, you'll never do very much for me if you take that kind of attitude toward life. The scripture said, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not which may prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. It's hard to find souls today that aren't caught in some of the devil's traps and snares somewhere. If we're going to help anybody, we have to help the folks that are at disadvantage. But don't you see what's happening to them? They're all moving toward eternity. And since I've been up here speaking this morning, some have gone. Some have gone. And there'll never be any more chance to help them. And those we love are moving right down that journey. If the Lord tarries his coming, some of them are likely to go unsaved. Look, I look at our young people. I love them dearly. Rejoice, appreciate so much. Appreciate every time they come to meeting. Appreciate the effort that's made to reach them. But think of the young people I've known in the past. I've seen other groups just like this. And lose 40% of them. In the first 10 years after the marriage age, should I say. And I look at ours and I say, well, if you're going to pick them out, which ones aren't going to make it? That's just too heartbreaking to even think about. We just don't have any we want to give up. I think of everyone who comes through these chapel doors. That the Lord help us that there be something here that would point toward eternity and a better place. That's why we come here, isn't it? Lord, grant it to us. Make us of such a holy spirit, such a place of blessing, that people who are troubled and want to come. You know what the Bible said the church is compared to? It's like the mustard, which is the greatest of trees. And the birds lodge in the branches. Birds are all colors. Some are white, some are black, some are yellow, some are blue. Do they change the color of the tree? It's still the same. And I've been in congregations where people came and they weren't measured up. We all knew they weren't measured up. And the Lord said to me, right here in your worship service, that may be some of the greatest peace these people will ever know. Their whole world is full of turmoil and trouble. You ought to be glad that they come somewhere and shelter on your branches. We got what the world needs, folks. This is special. May the Lord help us that there'd always be a candlestick, that there'd always be a way back. May the Lord help us to answer our prayers for those we love. I want you to pray for those I love, my family, and people I've met. I want to pray for yours. Everyone just as valuable. Can I read it to you again? What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost till he hath found it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. That's the day I'm looking for, aren't you? Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning. Amen.